I hadn't meant to start the show off on this particular subject matter, and I do get emotionally engaged in it because it is something that affects all of us. And to watch politicians convince people to commit suicide this way, when it comes to what has been the single greatest healthcare system in the world, and to actively get out there and campaign, no, we should make it like all these other countries that have people who try to get here to the United States to experience our better healthcare system. And it's all based on the idea of free. Free. Doesn't matter if it's crap. Doesn't matter if it's horrible. I guarantee you, a very significant portion of the population who has been furious because they have not managed to get their COVID-19 check yet, and they can't understand how the Trump administration can be so incompetent, are the same people who want the government to be in charge of when they can have a doctor's appointment and approving what medical procedures they can get. The same people who will rail against, you know, oh, they're all a bunch of crooks, will say, oh, yeah, yeah, but they should run my health care. On the Queen City Motors talk and text line, saying, I got one better. Quest Diagnostics shut all services to people under the age of 60 for the first hour of the day to do COVID-19 testing. I need blood tests done, but I have to be at work at 8. They will not let me go in and have blood work done at the 7 a.m. hour when they first open because I'm under the age of 60. And of course, you know, elective surgeries, so-called elective surgeries. Elective surgeries, by the way, they use that terminology, much like they use the terminology essential. And it may not really have any basis in reality, and, you know, regarding what is elective versus not elective, but it basically just means what they've chosen. I mean, they're the great minds that make these decisions. And so you have people that in all likelihood will die because of this. And I don't want to be overly dramatic, but there are a great number of illnesses. I mean, you've heard these stories before. Doctors say caught it just in time. Well, if that just in time catch gets moved 6 months down the road because, well, we can't treat you right now, or we can't look, you know, do any diagnostics for you right now because we have to keep shut down in case there's some massive second wave from coronavirus. You know, to match the first wave that never even came. I love also that's the other. Might get a second wave. Well, if it's going to be like the first wave, okay, it wasn't much of a wave. You know, we got to make sure that doesn't happen so the hospitals in Greene County, they don't get overrun. They never got overrun. They never came close to it. Look, there are the press releases, there are the press conferences, and then there's what's really happening. And I happen to hear lots of information from people who actually work at hospitals that are shaking their heads. Now a lot of them are going to lose their jobs. All of this planning for something that never happened. All of these people who need to see their doctors, who need to go in for testing, but they aren't allowed to. It's horrifying. The focus is so off of health and the individual patient, and instead is policy or politics or, well, what is the public going to say? How are we going to look if we don't shut everything down and prepare for this theoretical wave that's going to come? You know, we may get criticized in the media for not preparing for this, so we have to, you know, put on a good public face. Meanwhile, turning away people who really need it. There are stories out in California, there have been for, well, not just California, but other places, where they're seeing a massive drop in the number of people who are coming in when it comes to strokes and heart attacks and heart condition, and they're very worried about this. Well, is it any wonder when they're told at every turn, nope, can't come, only COVID-19 patients, don't have time for you. You see the stories on the news about how only COVID-19 people, or there's no room for anyone else. Just killing ourselves. And what's the end result going to be? Less doctors, less nurses, less people in the... Oh, boy, really managed this thing wisely, didn't we? We need more bureaucrats. We need more government making these decisions when it comes to our healthcare system. Not a supply and demand. You see, because, you know, businesses that run on supply and demand, I mean, that's all just greed, and it takes advantage of it. Yes, this is a much better system, isn't it? Thank heavens we've been shifting away from this system in which you look at need and you say, all right, we're going to create services for that so that people can purchase it. See, the thing about having a capitalist system, which is so awful, where hospitals are for profit, is it benefits them to do a good job. The better service they provide, the more money they make. So it is in their best interest to provide a great service, sort of like owners of Airbnbs. It does not serve their interest well financially to do a poor job, because word starts to spread, people don't use their services. By the way, this is another reason competition is also great when it comes to all things medical, because it gives people options. It forces these institutions to compete for you. But, oh, we got to get all that evil stuff out of the medical. Oh, no, that's off. We can't do that. We need government to make the decisions. Well, it's just working famously so far. It's wonderful. Got to get another break. We'll get some calls in here. The Queen City Motors talk and text line 447-KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. Queen City Motors talk and text line 447-KSGF. Let's go to Walter in Springfield. Hey, Walter, how's it going? Are you there, Walter?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Walter, how are you?
Pretty good. Have you been hearing the rumors and stuff about Virginia?
Well, which ones?
Well, in Virginia, you can't go get cancer surgery because of all this crisis, because, you know, it's important. You can't get, an exam for, you know, preventing cancer, all kinds of things. But they've had a record number of abortions, more abortions in 60 days than an entire last year.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
They're liberals. They're liberals. They believe in letting this person die. I hate to say this. Liberalism is not a political point of view. It's a cult of chaos, corruption, and death. That's what liberalism always has been. It's meant to destroy and confuse. Sounds really great being nice to people, but it bankrupts everybody.
Yeah. Well, Virginia is not the only state, at least when I don't know numbers and stats, but I know when the decisions were being made as to what is and isn't essential, when Democrats were calling the shots, cancer treatment, not so much perhaps, but abortion. You've got to be able to get an abortion. I mean, that is absolutely essential. We have to do that. And it's a priority. Abortion for the left, the left in some capacity almost loves abortion more than I think pro-life people love life. I mean, they are just obsessed with it, to where even in the midst of coronavirus, they're like, what about, we got to make sure people still get abortions. Got to make sure they still get abortions. They love it. And, you know, you can spend days trying to figure out why that one is. Now, somebody had sent in a message saying that, you know, well, they think that this is just an excuse for Mercy to get rid of people. It's something they've been planning or wanting to do. Now, I have no idea. But I can tell you regardless of what they have wanted to do, whether they've wanted to do that or they haven't wanted to do that. These layoffs are the result of reaction to what we were all told by the government coronavirus was going to do. And in some instances, I mean, it's just the government itself making these dictates, and it varies state to state, telling hospitals what they can and can't do. And listen, this isn't a one, much of it is residual. The vast majority of states have rules set up where hospitals can't even add additional hospital beds without getting government permission. And you know why that is? You know why it is that hospitals that were short on ventilators were short because they hadn't gotten permission from the government in order to get more ventilators? You know why? All of that was done and has been done over the years in the name of making it more fair and better for the patient. The idea being is that, you know, hospitals, if they're just out to make money, they might be adding all these ventilators and all these beds, and then they're going to charge the consumer for that. They're going to charge people who have a right to health care, and that's not wrong. So now they need to get permission from us to do it. So like most things government run, they take control of it in order to create a better experience for you. They take control of it in order to protect you from the evil people who run the business or the corporation. And who is it that always gets screwed? You do. Every time. How many times do we have to get, we look at countries like Venezuela and some, and we're like, what are these people? How can they put people in charge that clearly are running them into the ground? We do it. We're just behind the curve. We do it in this country. And there are a lot of people that are ready to do it in November. And while we don't have a clear division, clearly in this country, of one party that gets it while the other one doesn't, it is clear one wants to lead the charge to drive us straight to hell. Because they look at countries like Venezuela and their economic system, their political system, and they say, yes, that's what we want. We will take you there. We've got Don Luzader coming up here in just a couple of moments. He's going to update us on the latest news. Parker Pageant with traffic. I'm Nick Reed. This is Springfield's Talk 104.1. Don Luzader with a news update.
Good morning. A man is in custody at the hospital after firing shots on the parking lot of Friends Karaoke on West Battlefield in Springfield.
Well, who hasn't?
Me, for one.
Oh, officers, you haven't really lived.
No, I know.
So you fired shots in a karaoke bar parking lot.
Officers say the man had been asked to leave the bar following a disturbance, but they do not know if he had a gun inside the business or if he got it out of his van. The man then crashed the van across the street from the bar. An employee from the bar chased the guy down and held him until police got there. I'm going to guess there was no alcohol involved in any of this.
Yeah, see, I was waiting for that. It's always the wrap up line in a news story like that.
Police do not know
whether or not alcohol was involved.
Well, I'm just going to go out on a limb right on this one.
You just wonder if, because I do believe there are different stages of alcohol induced behavior, mm-hmm. And now there are some people that they're just wired to pop off like that, but they normally wouldn't. A few shots of Fireball, though, that puts them there.
Yeah.
But then there are those that the next morning they're going to wake up and they're going to look at their text messages and be like, wait, what? I did what? Where am I? Or they don't know where they are. They're in jail. They have
who?
No idea. Yeah. And you wonder where on the spectrum this falls. Is this the sort of thing that just a nudge was needed? And they're like, oh, yeah, well, that's Leroy. It's, you know, just another Tuesday night.
Yeah. Well, Leroy, or whatever his name may be, is the only one that got hurt out of this. So, luckily, no one else was injured. So, yes.
I mean, we joke, but you start firing guns and everything.
You never know. Yeah. A man from Marionville who was facing charges of first-degree murder has had those charges lessened to second degree. Authorities say James Pride stabbed Patricia Urange to death in a car on Memorial Day. Court records say that Pride stabbed Urange because he says she was evil. Pride was denied bond in a hearing on Tuesday. And state health officials say nearly 12,300 people have tested positive for the coronavirus. In Missouri, 686 have died from COVID-19. In Greene County, there have been 145 total cases. 33 of those cases are active. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements, with all Missouri-made windows, siding, gutter protection as well, and 20% off for everyone right now. St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvement. 50% chance of showers, thunderstorms, patchy fog today, a high of 75. Chance of shower storms tonight, 60. Showers, possibly a thunderstorm, 75 tomorrow. On Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 76. Current temperature 62. Still a little fog, but the sun is making its way out. A1 Custom Car Care. Now, a lot of you folks out there, and guilty as charged with one of my vehicles, have plates that are expired. And those plates expired, and you went to do your duty, perhaps, and get an inspection and all that sort of jazz, but then found that the government would not let you relicense your plates. Like, oh, you'll just have to wait until we open the DMV offices back up. It's like, okay. So now you need to get an inspection. It's part of what you have to do, depending on your vehicle. Some of that has changed over time. Do you know whether or not you need an inspection? Well, of course, A1 Custom Car Care can let you know that, and they can do the job, plus take care of any of your other needs as well. Any of their three locations, whether it's a small problem or an issue like getting an inspection or something much larger, you know what? You might as well have them do a once-over on the thing while you have it in there getting an inspection. A1 Custom Car Care, Fort and Sunshine, Springfield, Highway 60, Republican West Sunset, across from Classic Rock Coffee. It is where I take all of my vehicles. I've taken them to all three locations numerous times, in fact. Let's go to Randall. Welcome, Randall. How do you do?
Doing well, thank you.
Good.
Not being able to have more beds has something to do with Medicare, Medicaid, and I can look that law up for you and text it to you. Also, I know a guy who has been unable to walk because his leg wouldn't work right, and he hasn't been able to get into the hospital to get it checked out because of his flu-like symptoms causing virus. And he finally got into the hospital to get some tests done, and they found that he had 9% blood flow to his left foot and 40% blood flow to his right foot. And so this guy's been sitting around unable to walk.
Right.
Getting ready to probably lose a foot or a limb because everybody's afraid of getting a virus that causes flu-like symptoms.
Yeah, killing off people.
It's insanity.
Yeah, I think what is happening is people are understanding more what is going on here. In the beginning, when the announcements were made about, well, elective surgeries or elective this or that are being put off to prepare for this massive wave of people that are going to result in, the parking lots at Cox and Mercy being filled with hospital beds, people with coronavirus. It's going to look like, you know, a triage center. We're going to have to set up triage centers. And so they think, well, that makes sense. But in their minds, they're thinking elective procedures or facelifts or boob jobs or, you know, things that you don't really need. But then over the last couple of months, they're calling for very serious things that could be life or death. And they're being told, oh, sorry, we're not seeing people for that right now. And like, wait a minute. What? You're telling me that this, what I'm dealing with, is elective? And they're finding out, much like the folks who just arbitrarily chose amongst our society, those of us that are essential, while there are those of us who are not essential to our society, they're doing the same thing with their dictates on what is an essential procedure or an essential test versus those that are not. And a large, I believe, portion of the population has discovered over time that they have been deemed non-essential, or their problem has been deemed not as serious as they recognize it being. And I'm going to say it one last time, and then we're going to take a call here. And I've got, like I said, I hadn't even meant to talk about this, but the story, Don had it. And I actually did have the story itself, but it wasn't first on the pile, but it just got me going. We get told oftentimes that, well, some of this is still in place in case there's a second wave. Well, the first wave was nothing. Here, the first wave was nothing. The first wave resulted in the area hospitals having less activity than they've ever had. See, there's no common sense here. And some of it's arrogance, refusal to believe they're wrong. Some of it, frankly, is just not thinking. People, and this is so dangerous in our society, and I truly believe it's what leads long-term to the collapse of cultures and societies. It is when people stop thinking and instead just take orders. And unfortunately, a lot of people that run hospitals or people who run hospitals, they listen to people with these mentalities. And so, you know, what actually makes sense, having meaningful results, what is best ultimately for the patient, all that goes out the window. Well, you know, so-and-so had a study that said this. Oh, look at this chart. Look at this little graph. Oh, look how high it spikes up. They said that this will happen if we don't do this. And so let's just do it. Because they had a nice PowerPoint presentation. And they're an expert. They have a degree. Oh, look, they wrote this paper and this peer-reviewed paper and so forth. And so it is just a default to finding somebody that is an authority and doing whatever they say instead of thinking. Let's go to Mr. Don Carricker. Hello, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You keep getting me fired up.
I know. I'm sorry. I had a number of things here that I thought, well, we'll talk about somewhat serious things in a lighthearted manner. And then that story, it just got me so mad. And I saw it yesterday and I printed it off. And it wasn't the story itself, but just knowing what causes it and how unnecessary. That's the thing. Totally unnecessary.
Completely unnecessary and run by the government. The government is here to help. And yeah, they help us into problems all the time that they try to solve. They create the problem, then they come up with a solution that makes things worse, and they control us. I was reading an article just now when you were talking about this, and it says the CDC said that so far 6 to 7 million people have been infected. Between 69,000 and 84,000 people have been hospitalized and 637 deaths from pneumonia and influenza. This is an article for last year, last winter, not the one that just passed. I'm talking 2019, 2018, 2019. It sounds exactly like what they're trying to say is going on now. How many people did Don say died so far in Missouri? You know, 600 and some people.
Yeah, I forget the number.
Is how many died? And this says 637 deaths from pneumonia and influenza have been reported since October of 2018. This is the same thing. They are not. This is nothing new. This is nothing terrible. It's not doom and gloom.
All they're
doing is feeding into the propaganda and making people believe that this is something novel, the novel coronavirus. Yeah, bull crap. I am so sick of this, and we need to get back. People, the statistics of suicide have skyrocketed. People are dying because they can't make a living, and they need to shut this thing off. People need to protest. People need to be done with it and get on with life.
You
not
know,
a new normal, the old normal.
Here's an observation for people to just mull over. And we've been through these pandemics before, and you hear of them sometimes in the political context of, you know, the swine flu or the bird flu has been, you know, all these different flus that have come about and been dealt with. And if you notice this one, they don't use the term flu in their verbiage for it. And the moment that they started talking about Wuhan flu, like, you can't call it that, that's racist. I don't think the problem was calling it Wuhan. I think the problem was calling it flu, because flu isn't that scary. So they had no problem calling bird flu, and swine flu, but this comes along, and they're like, well, we can't call it Wuhan. No, we can't call it that at all. They said it was because it was racist, but I think it's the flu part, because that categorizes it in an area that doesn't seem like it's something new and scary, even in the sense of a pandemic, because we've been through bird flu, we've been through swine flu, and while the numbers for this ultimately may end up being more consequential, in the beginning, before, you know, it was just all presented in a way that was much, much different. And I don't think that it was an accident that we have had numerous pandemics that all in daily verbiage and in media was, you know, term with the word flu in it, but this time it wasn't. It was taken out.
That's because it didn't work.
Well,
it didn't work back then, and they realized, oh, we got to change it. They are so good at putting up different words and chants and all that other kind of crap that we fall for. It's they're slogans. It's freaking slogans is what it is. And it feeds into everybody's fear, and it feeds into all the things that they want to get done. And people are falling for it, hook, line, and sinker.
Well, not everyone. Not everyone. Hence,
vast majority.
Lake of the Ozarks. I think less and less people are. Don, it's good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
All right, you do the same. Now, some may say that my little food for thought on the fact that all these past pandemics had the word flu in it, but we couldn't use flu in this, you know, I had to use some other term. And the idea that perhaps that was to make it seem less normal, less like something, oh, we've been through this before. And I understand there are going to be people that say, oh, now that's just foolishness. Well, I have yet to be provided an explanation as to why the verbiage this time around is different than the times in the past. I haven't heard an offering of that. I want to make just a final, I said this before, but I just want to make it clear. We talk about government-run healthcare and the government's fingerprints all over the decisions that have resulted in most recently hundreds upon hundreds of people getting laid off from hospitals, Mercy, most recently in the news. Now, I don't want anyone to get the impression that I am claiming that every of one of these decisions that's being made is being dictated by the government. What I'm saying is while some of the government decisions do result in these reactions or the direct, they are the directors of it. The problem is when you have people running the hospitals that are listening to the government people, and that is what they're basing their decisions off of. Whether it is because they default to listening to a person in authority instead of thinking for themselves, or for public relations purposes. Well, every other hospital is doing this. We don't want to be the only one that doesn't because, you know, even though we don't think this is going to happen or that's going to happen, we think we can manage it without turning away normal patients that have a need to see us. You know, gosh, we're going to get criticized and we're going to, you know, it's just going to look bad. They're susceptible to that. I mean, hospitals have marketing people. They have PR people. And too many decisions are being made not in the best interest of the patient, but instead defaulting to government dictates, government recommendations, or media perception. Here's Parker with the latest traffic update. I'm Nick Reed. St. Louis Post-Dispatch has an editorial, so you know it's probably going to be void of logic and common sense. And its editorial, History Has Lessons for Missourians Who Thumb Noses at Social Distancing. And the launching point, of course, is the video of people having a good time and swimming and not social distancing. And they write, Missouri provided a better example during the influenza pandemic of more than a century ago. I guess they have to go back over 100 years to find an example to try to prove their point. They write, historians and epidemiologists have contrasted St. Louis' sterling response in 1918 with the disastrous one undertaken by Philadelphia. St. Louis closed schools and banned public gathering of more than 20 people. Philadelphia had a parade. Philadelphia's flu deaths toll skyrocketed soon after St. Louis per capita pandemic fatality rate was about half of that of Philadelphia's. So their example of history from which we should, you know, draw was over 100 years ago, and that Philadelphia had a parade while St. Louis closed things down, and St. Louis saw lower deaths while Philadelphia saw higher deaths. And so the conclusion is that when it comes to all pandemics, we should social distance in the way the government tells us to. Now, of course, that is the weakest. And I'm not saying that there aren't aspects of that that we can look at and evaluate. But to take that just tiny example in a context so far removed from today and use that to say you should do everything government tells you to do is preposterous. But if we are going to contend, as the headline of the editorial from the editorial board, that history has lessons for Missourians who thumb noses at social distancing, I would say that history has lessons for all of us regarding people who do whatever government tells them without questioning it. I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And, you know, to claim that somehow because of an instance in time you identify as proving that, government telling people to socially distance means that that is the end-all, be-all, and the answer to all, well, then you the door swings both ways. And there are plenty of instances in history in which we could learn what happens when people don't question government and do whatever government says and decides who amongst us is essential and not essential and whom amongst us we should demonize for participating in activities that government has said is bad. A government whose version of what is unacceptable behavior is constantly evolving and changing from week to week. In fact, I would argue there are probably more instances of lessons for us to learn for as human beings in which we did not question government, particularly in the context of who is and isn't essential. There are probably more examples for us to learn from that than there are from government-ordered social distancing. But, of course, I'm not nearly smart enough to be on the editorial board at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. If you miss any of the show, you can catch past episodes on Spotify, iTunes, and then we do stream them live, video and audio, Facebook Live and KSGF.com, so you can catch them there. Plenty of places. We've got News in 60 Seconds. I'm Nick Reed.